Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP studio visit. The captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, New England. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I love this piece in the Atlantic. I actually tweeted it out today. And if you want to find it, you can follow me on Twitter at @G_Curley. It's by a writer named Emma Green. And it's really based in Massachusetts in some of these liberal enclaves where people are just losing their minds. Even as a vaccine comes out, even as the light at the end of the tunnel appears brighter and brighter, as Joe Biden said. Joe Biden is the head of our government. You might know him. He talked yesterday, and I guess he's talking soon again, because this is how he operates. You know, he gets a dose of the limelight. He wants to come back out for another little speech.
So give the public what they want.
You got to give the people what they want. Joe's an entertainer. But the title of this piece is The Liberals Who Can't Quit Lockdown. And the reason I want to read this is, first of all, I think it's very entertaining. I think it's alarming, and you get a real sense of how out of bounds people have gotten with this pandemic. But I also want to hear your experiences. Do you know people like this? Is this the norm in Massachusetts? Maybe I just hang out with, you know, some credulous boomer rubes, but this is not the vibe I'm getting from my friends and family. Maybe I'm not woke enough. Maybe I'm not enough of a beautiful person. So I'm going to get into this, but the phone lines, as always, are open, 844-500-4242. And I'm going to skip around here for time's sake. Lurking among the jubilant Americans venturing back out to bars and planning their summer wedding travel is a different group. Liberals who aren't quite ready to let go of pandemic restrictions. For this subset, diligence against COVID-19 remains an expression of political identity, even when that means overestimating the disease's risks of setting limits far more strict than what public health guidelines permit. I'm adding this in, but you could think of, let's say, Brookline. You know, they're being told now this is not necessary. And they're saying in Brookline, oh, no, but it is. But we will continue to wear masks. For many progressives, extreme vigilance was in part about opposing Donald Trump. That's what I was talking about earlier. Some of this reaction was born of deeply felt frustration with how he handled the pandemic. It could also be knee-jerk. Now, this is a quote from Monica Gandhi. She's a professor of medicine at UC San Francisco. She said, if he said keep schools open, then, well, we're going to do everything in our power to keep schools closed. Gandhi describes herself as left of left, but has alienated some of her ideological peers because she has advocated for policies such as reopening schools and establishing a clear timeline for the end of mask mandates. The horror, the nerve of this woman. It's no wonder she's been ostracized by her friends. The spring of 2021 is different from the spring of 2020. That is something I want to repeat to everyone. If you have a crazy aunt or a crazy neighbor who's still acting like it's 2020, one more time. But you know, if maybe they're hearing this, you got your windows down, turn it up. The spring of 2021 is different from the spring of 2020. Scientists know a lot more about how COVID-19 spreads and how it doesn't. Public health advice is shifting. But vigilance can have but some progressives have not updated their behavior based on the new information. In their eagerness to protect themselves and others, they may be underestimating other costs. Being extra careful about COVID-19 is mostly harmless when it's limited to wiping down your groceries with Lysol wipes or wearing a mask in places when you're unlikely to spread the coronavirus, such as on a hiking trail. But vigilance can have unintended consequences when it imposes on other people's lives. Now, this is the key, because everyone keeps saying, what do you care if I want to wear my mask till the end of eternity? I really don't. I really don't. But what I do care about is when I can't go places without a mask on, because now it's like that old expression, you know, your right to free speech ends at the tip of my nose. It's not always about you. You know, you want to stay in your house for the rest of your life and wear 6 masks, go for it. But I want to go to the beach and I want to breathe in that ocean air. Even as scientific knowledge of COVID-19 has increased, some progressives have continued to embrace policies and behaviors that aren't supported by evidence, such as banning access to playgrounds, closing beaches, and refusing to open schools for in-person learning. And then this is where Emma Green gets specific. She has a couple of specific case studies in Massachusetts. First, she says, after Emily Oster from Brown University argued in The Atlantic in March that families should plan to take their kids on trips and see friends and relatives this summer, a reader sent an email to her supervisors at the university suggesting that Emily Oster be promoted to a leadership role in the field of genocide encouragement. I'm not even going to read you the rest of that part because, you know, this woman's insane, or this man, whoever sent that in, has lost their minds.
The person X who sent that in.
But for many, remaining guarded, even as the country opens back up, is an earnest expression of civic values. Now, this is where the real virtue signalers come in. You know, some of it is anti-Trump. Some of it is people are actually scared. They don't read the numbers. They're just actually terrified of this disease. But a big part of this is this civic values idea. I keep coming back to the same thing with the pandemic, Alex Goldstein, a progressive PR consultant who was a senior advisor to Representative Ayanna Pressley's 2018 campaign, told me. Either you believe that you have a responsibility to take action to protect a person you don't know, or you believe you have no responsibility to anybody who isn't your immediate family. Now, again, this is me talking. That's his way of saying you're either selfish and you're a Republican and you take your mask off, or you care. And you're a good person, and you aren't morally bankrupt, and you keep your mask on forever. Goldstein and his wife decided early on in the pandemic that they were going to take restrictions extremely seriously and adopt the most cautious interpretation of what is safe to do, or when it was safe to do anything. He's been shaving his own head since the summer. Although rugby teams have been back on the fields in Boston where he lives, his teams still won't participate for fear of spreading germs when players pile up on top of one another in a scrum. He spends his mornings and evenings sifting through stories of people who have recently died from the coronavirus for Faces of COVID, a Twitter feed he started to memorialize deaths during the pandemic. My fear is that we will not learn the lessons of the pandemic because we will try to blow through the finish line as fast as we can and leave it in the rearview mirror, he said. I don't think that's going to happen because we've been doing it for a year now. So I don't think too fast is going to be the problem. If you're deeply concerned that the real disaster that's happening here is that the social contract has been broken and the vulnerable in society are once again being kicked while they're down, then you're going to be hypersensitive to every detail, to every headline, to every infection rate. That's Scott Knowles, a professor at the South Korean University who studies the history of disasters. Now, I want to skip down here because it talks about Somerville, and I found this part interesting. Consider the experience of Somerville, Massachusetts, the kind of community where residents proudly display rainbow yard signs declaring, in this house, we believe in science. Or no. In this house, we believe science is real. As towns around Somerville began going back to in-person school in the fall, Mayor Joseph Curtatone and other Somerville leaders delayed a return to in-person learning. A group of moms began to feel frustrated that Somerville schools weren't welcoming back students. They considered themselves progressives and believed that they understood teachers' worries about getting sick, but they saw the city's proposed safety measures as nonsensical and unscientific, a sort of hygiene theater that prioritized the appearance of protection over getting kids back to school. Now, it goes on to talk about what Somerville had to do, what the teachers wanted them to do, and it included a HVAC system overhaul, an installation of UV sterilization units, and automatic toilet flushers. You know, basically, it's a wish list. Whatever you want, you can get, and the kids are still not going to be back in school. Months slipped by and evidence mounted that schools could reopen safely. In Somerville, a local leader appeared to describe parents who wanted a faster return to in-person instruction as bleeping white parents in a virtual public meeting. A community member accused the group of mothers advocating for schools to reopen of being motivated by white supremacy. Of course.
Racism, racism.
It's just, I think my favorite line from this is hygiene theater. That's what a lot of this is. It's all theater. And I know I'm a theater major. That's part of my checklist. Really good piece by Emma Green. Once again, I tweeted that out. And another part of this is the camps, the camp guidance. We're going to go through that Fauci sound after the break. They want these kids to be outside in 90-degree weather wearing masks, and there's no purpose of it other than to make Dr. Fauci feel good and feel like this is going to go on for a little bit longer. And he's still going to get his bobbleheads made and the pillows made. That's why your kid has to wear a mask at camp. There's no science behind it. There's no medical reason behind it. It's just theater. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Warmer temps are creeping up, and pollen is going to come in. And when it does, you're going to want the Thunderstorm Air Purifier by your side. That's why Jared always has his with him.
Yes. Allergy medication's fine, but most of them don't usually get all the symptoms. But the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is fantastic. It doesn't cover up symptoms. It actually cleans the air you breathe. It ionizes the air, so you're breathing clean oxygen. It gets rid of the allergens. It gets rid of any pollutants. It gets rid of viruses. It even gets rid of odors. Anything that makes the air impure, this actually purifies. And I have one in my car now because it's so small, and it's got a little, you can just plug into your USB port in your car. It's great. So I have one in my car. I have them where I live. And basically the only time I get really stuffed up now is when I'm outside.
Yeah, it's a really great product. It's small. It's not bulky. It works really well. No air filters are required. And right now you can get it for under $100. You can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you'll save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner and put code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner and code word GRACE. We will be back on the other side. We'll take your calls and we will also talk a little bit about Dr. Fauci. He's doing more media hits as to be expected, and we're going to play them for you. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Check this out. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, and you'll notice here I have a delicious box of Phillips chocolates, handmade since 1925. I'm a huge fan of the chocolate turtles.
Am I not turtly enough for the turtle club?
I also love their heavenly hash. Everyone knows I'm a huge fan of Phillips chocolate. Just a reminder that Mother's Day is coming up, so you might want to check them out in Dorchester. Now, let's get down to business. I have a lot to talk about. I will go to the calls in 1 second, but Jared, I didn't know if you'd heard this story. McDonald's customers in frenzy over new chick and cheeseburger.
I did see this.
The new McDonald's chicken cheeseburger has sparked fury. See, that to me is right there. I'm already
the end of times.
I'm already on McDonald's side. Like, if you're sparking fury over a new menu item, maybe it's the fault of the people. Okay, so here is, they're describing it as a real-life chum bucket. The sandwich, which is currently only available at the chain's locations in Southeast Asia, includes crispy chicken, I'm in so far, lettuce, sweet tomato chili jam, and a patty made of fried mozzarella cheese. For good measure, it has a slice of American cheese thrown in as well. I don't understand what's so bad about this. You know, I would take this over the McRib.
Yeah. What's the furor? Or
what is,
or whatever.
What is the problem? I haven't seen a photo of it. Maybe that's where I'm missing it. But I guess there's also two new sides, pizza McShaker fries and hot chicken drumlets. So I will report back on those. But I don't think it sounds that bad.
Yeah, I'm in on all that.
I love fried mozzarella cheese. Fred, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Fred.
Hi, how are you, Grace?
I'm good. What's going on?
Oh, just a few points, things I'd like to hash out that I'll let you know about. I'm a retired state employee, and contrary to public opinion, I did do my job. I'm also a service-connected disabled Vietnam combat veteran.
Thank you for your service, sir.
Well, thank you. I spent the many, many moons being told I was a baby killer. To begin with, there's a lot, when we talk about the mainstream media, listening to them over the last several years, the reason they hated Donald Trump and couldn't stand him, he wasn't a politician. He wasn't one of the guys.
Right.
I've voted for Donald Trump twice because I know what a useless, brain-dead, empty-headed moron Joe Biden is. There's a fact about Joe Biden that most people don't know because the Goebbelites in the mainstream media hide it.
What's that fact?
You know what a Goebbelite is? Huh?
Yes.
Goebbelites?
No. I'm saying what's okay. The fact? I know.
Yeah, well, you want to know what a Goebbelite is. That's my invention. I'm a student of, I have a bachelor's in cultural anthropology and a master's in exercise science. But getting back to the Goebbelites are all graduates of the JG University School of Media Studies and Misinformation. The motto of the school is tell a big enough lie and keep repeating it, it becomes the truth.
Yes, but Fred, what is the fact about Joe Biden that people don't know? That's what I'm curious about.
Oh, okay. Other than that, he can point to his head with his fingers and spell the initials to the word mountain. Joe Biden, when he was first elected to the Senate from Delaware, he had a mentor when he was in the Senate. His mentor was a man by the name of Senator Robert Byrd of West Virginia.
Oh, yeah. Fred, no, I know. And he is a, now Jared.
Exalted Cyclops.
Thank you. I always get that part wrong. For the KKK.
Yes.
Yes, Fred, thank you very much for the call. I think that's always good to remind people of Robert Byrd, the dog died. If anyone here listens to Howie Carr, I'm sure a lot of you do. You are very familiar with Robert Byrd.
Barbaric.
Biden has a long history of promoting racist policies. He was a big part of the crime bill in the 80s and 90s, and he's done a lot of damage to black communities, but once again, I'll say it again, he cares. He cries. The CDC's guidance for summer camps is insane. I don't know if you guys have seen this. Everyone at the camp, including staff and every kid over the age of 2, must wear masks at all times unless they are eating or swimming. They should wear 2 layers of masks, especially when social distancing is difficult. I want to hear Fauci's take on this, talking to Savannah Guthrie. Cut 7, please, Jared. This is Dr. Fauci with Savannah.
Given what research shows about transmission outside, about the low risk of serious illness in children, are these CDC guidelines excessive?
You know, I wouldn't call them excessive, Savannah, but they certainly are conservative. And I think what you're going to start to see is really in real time, continually reevaluating that for its practicality.
Well, why not do it now? I hate all of this. Oh, eventually, just wait, just hold on. We're in the, oh, that was another one he said to Wolf Blitzer. You know, he does all these media hits. We'll have to play the other one on the other side. But he does all of these media hits on a daily basis. And he says, we're in the 6th inning of this. The 6th inning? Now, Jared, I'm not a baseball girl, but are there 9?
There are 9. I mean, he would know, though. You saw that first pitch. He's a modern day Eddie Goodell.
I can't. The 6th inning? No! We'll be back. We'll play some more Fauci. And of course, we have producer's picks. Do not go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
So we're in the late innings.
So you think the seventh, the eighth inning, or late innings? What inning you're talking about?
How about the bottom of the sixth? Bottom Try that sixth. One.
All right, I'll go with the bottom of the sixth. That's not too bad.
I hate how everyone like just loves it all so much. Or in the bottom of the sixth. It's so funny. Meanwhile, moms are at home with their kids going to Zoom school for the 300th and something day, and they're losing their minds. And camp counselors are going to be out this summer with four masks on their faces. But Dr. Fauci is sitting in the air-conditioned studio going, let's say bottom of the sixth. How about that? Did you see the new bobblehead they got of me? It's really great.
Yeah, the bottom of the sixth in a 2003 Red Sox-Yankees game that takes 6 hours to play.
I know. All I keep thinking about is how long baseball games are when he said that. You know? It's like they're so long. They never end. Remember that game a few years ago? It was like the World Series. It went to like 4 a.m.
Yeah, that was 2016, the Indians and Cubs.
That is this. That's this sixth inning.
That was game seven. That was a good game.
What could I say? I know my sports. All right, guys, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What do you think is the root cause of the border challenge? Is it that Biden's a moral, decent man? Is it climate change? Is it that they inherited a broken system, or is it that it's just that time of year?
Moral, decent man. They know that Biden's here, and they just know how loving and wonderful he is, and they can't help themselves.
Biden is a moral, decent man is at 35%. That's good for second place. 41% say it's just that time of year, and tied at 12% are climate change and inherited a broken system. And actually, I think you were referencing the Red Sox-Dodgers World Series, Game 3.
Your guess is as good as mine. I didn't watch it. I just remember my brother was home and he was staying at my house and he knocked on the door at 4 a.m. and I said, why are you out so late? He said, the game's still going on. And I said, do you want me to turn it on in the living room? And he said, no. He was so angry by the end of it. He didn't even want to watch it. All right, guys, it's almost time for producer's picks, but I just wanted to give a quick little shout out here to Cape Lily because I did a Grace's Goodies yesterday. We have a couple more still on the site. It's Cape Lily soaps. And I have to say, this is I used the Cape Lily cedar soap last night, and I love it. If you love a beautiful smell, this one is a little more masculine. It's a little more smoky, but you really do feel so clean. I have very sensitive skin, and it's great for that. Now, this Grace's Goodies, you get $50 worth of value, but you only pay $25 for the gift card. A lot of them went quickly. I think that's because people know Mother's Day is coming up. They do have really beautiful smells like lavender, lemon, smells that your mom would probably really like. But I just want to throw a shout out. If you just have sensitive skin, if you're a man or a woman, these are great soaps. The packaging is gorgeous. And it's a great product. I'm very proud that they're part of our show. And I want people to grab this.
Yes, I used the charcoal and olive oil in my shower this morning. It was quite lovely.
It's great. And you know what Mary said, which I didn't think of, but she said this yesterday. It stays in its form. You know how some bars of soap gets...
It's not a soft soap.
Yeah, it doesn't get super gooey or anything. It stays like a nice square bar of soap. It's a great product. Cape Lily, and you're going to love it. Go to gracecurlyshow.com, click on store. Get that Grace's Goodies before they run out. Now, without further ado, it is time for... Producer's Picks!
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day. Producer's Picks.
This is the part of the show where Jared Diglio, my producer, tells us all the stories that are on his mind. Jared, take it away.
All right. Well, today is May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, not the Mexican Independence Day, a common misconception. It actually celebrates the date of the Mexican Army's victory over France at the Battle of Puebla during the Franco-Mexican War. So there you go, a little history lesson. But I think it's a good time that we revisit a tweet from 5 years ago by President candidate Donald John Trump at the time. Happy hashtag Cinco de Mayo. The best taco bowls are made in Trump Tower Grill. I love Hispanics. And do you remember the outrage, the onslaught, the wailing and the gnashing of this racist man for using the term Hispanic? And Donald Trump was evil orange man bad against culture, and he was a racist, and he was a this-ist, he was a that-ist.
Yeah, this was really when Trump deranged people started to come out of the woodwork, because it was a situation where there wasn't anything particularly bad about it, but they lost their minds. They set their hair on fire. This was when they started. Every single thing was the worst thing they'd ever seen, and this was one of those times.
Yes, well, I think because of this, this would be a good time to revisit President Jose Biden and his guffaws in the community.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
Alright. Now,
Despacito.
I do understand that Despacito was by a Puerto Rican artist, and I know that that is different than a Mexican artist, so hate mail does not have to come in. The point is Joe Biden being out of touch. And today, as you know, you do on Cinco de Mayo, or if you're Joe Biden, you go get some tacos and enchiladas.
Brother, what'd you get? Tacos and some enchiladas.
Brother,
do you have any comments on that?
But wait, there's more. He has to clarify whose tacos these are.
I want you, my staff, to hear these are my tacos. Sometimes I put these in a car when we're campaigning.
Sure.
Put them in a car and I find out I go to the next event and they're gone.
Okay, hold on. I have to talk about this. I cannot stand the pity laughs. It's okay. It's okay to just smile. You know, you don't want, someone says, I want my staff to know these are my tacos. You don't have to audibly chuckle at that. That's not a funny joke. Ha 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 ha. It's like where they wouldn't even give Trump so much as a, hey, hi, Mr. President. And they're laughing like they're the soundtrack to Full House. What is happening?
Speaking of happening, shall we go to President Jose Biden?
Yes, we should.
Make sure that we get this law's benefits quickly and directly to the American people. So before I say a bit more about what we're doing to support our nation's restaurants, let me provide an update on what is happening through the American Rescue Plan right now as I speak. First is providing checks and pockets and shots and arms. More than 163 million rescue payments have already gone out. These are checks, direct payments of up to $1,400 that for a typical family of four making about $110,000 means a $5,600 check you'll get. By the time all the money is distributed, more than 85% of American households will have received a check. The rescue plan is also funding vaccine administration and distribution. It's a big reason why we're able to administer over 220 million shots in my first 100 days, a pace unmatched by any other nation in the world, or in prior mass vaccinations in all of American history. You know, it's helped schools reopen safely. It's helping child care centers stay in business. It's helping families pay for child care. The rescue plan is delivering food and nutrition assistance to millions of Americans facing hunger. And hunger is already sharply down in the United States.
Hold on. I think if we start doing this, Jared, every time he comes out at 2:45 and we keep skipping producer's picks to take Joe Biden, we're going to have a revolt on our hands.
Yeah, I'm actually a little disturbed that he's doing this every day now. I think I'm taking this personally, like that Michael Jordan meme. I took that personally. I am taking this personally, that he just wants to shut down producers' picks.
That's more conservative
censorship.
That's what I'm really starting to think.
This will not stand.
There's a look in his eye that says, I know I'm ruining producers' picks, and I don't want to give in to that look, you know?
There's also a look in his eye that says, where the hell am I? But
there's also a look in his eye that says, I want to say vaccine.gum so badly right now.
Is it a mint-flavored gum? How does that work?
We got to find out. I think it's probably bubble gum because that's the most old school, you know?
Yeah. Good old
chewing gum.
Joe Bazooka Biden.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, hard-hitting stuff from the Boston Globe today. Governor Baker keeps including ball pits on his reopening lists, but will anyone jump in again?
Oh, no. Is that really the headline?
It is. Janelle Nanos from the Globe staff put this out this morning. It's going to be the death knell for the public ball pit.
I didn't know there was that many.
There's a lot of... Well, like I think Chuck E. Cheese has them.
Yeah,
and
but,
a lot of the... places that have like the furniture stores that have the walking wire thing. And this one, they actually talked to Andy Powell, the owner operator of Urban Air Adventure Park, in front of a closed 4-lane American Ninja Warrior style course, and the ball pits, which honestly, let's face it, the ball pits are pretty gross. I mean,
yeah, I was just gonna say, I don't want to be a buzzkill, but ball pits gross. Are kind of,
I mean, I loved it
grimy.
As a kid, but the more I thought about it, I just, yeesh. So
yeah, I went, they used to have them at McDonald's. I used to go in the ball pits all the time.
Yeah.
I had no issue with it. But now looking back, I'm like, yikes, that is gross.
So let's go out to the curb at midnight, pour some liquor on the curb for the Massachusetts ball pits.
How many more, Mr. Speaker? How many more ball pits must suffer?
Well, despite Dr. Anthony Fauci trying to extend this as much as he can, we finally have a significant indication that the pandemic is done. No, I'm not talking about the fact that California hospitalizations are down 93% since January because of COVID-19. Nevada brothels reopen after a long hiatus. It's officially done, folks. The brothels are open. We're back. Open it all up. There's no reason to keep kids out of school. There's no reason to wear a mask. The brothels are open. Let's go. Let's go.
Once the brothels open, I'm going into the supermarket without a mask. If the brothels are open, Grace Curley's having a big old wedding. What does that woman say? Wild West pimp style?
Oh, yes. Hang on a second.
I'm having my wedding. If the brothels are open, then it's party time. Sorry,
Wild
Charlie.
Wild West
Bacon.
Pimp style.
Yeah, exactly. That's happening. You can't have it both ways. And this is no shade to the brothels. I'm sure they've been suffering a lot recently.
Yes.
But if they get to open, we all get to go back to normal life. I totally agree.
And speaking of callbacks, a couple of weeks ago or last month, I talked about the Florida teen that was accused of rigging the homecoming election.
Yes.
Did you see this? This is from the New York Post.
I did.
She is going to be tried as an adult.
Now, here's my question with that. Remember the two girls who killed the Uber driver?
I do. The 16-year-olds, yes.
They were, you know, Juan Williams called it a joyride, but they tried to steal his, or they were trying to do a carjacking, and he wouldn't get out of the car, and they, you know, sped away in the car, and he fell out onto the curb and died. Are they being tried as adults?
They're not being tried at all, I don't think. I don't even think they brought charges against them, but no, if they did... They're not being tried as adults.
Two standards of justice in
science,
this country.
Justice.
That girl who she rigged the homecoming election, I just have to say, sometimes the punishment fits the crime. The punishment of being on the cover of the New York Post or being in the New York Post because you and your mom rigged a homecoming election, that is enough punishment. You know what I mean? Like, I feel satisfied with her understanding where she went wrong, because the entire world now knows this embarrassing story about her. I don't need to see her do jail time. Just give back the tiara and the sash and go on with your life.
Shame. All right. And on this day, 1961, Alan Shepard became the first American astronaut in space, completed a 15-minute suborbital flight aboard the Freedom 7 space capsule, which launched the space race.
Very cool. You should let Kamala Harris know that.
She's
in charge of the National Space Council now.
Yes. So everybody who's been incarcerated on the moon, hey, this was the start 60 years ago.
All right, guys. When we get back, we will have Howard Lawrence Carr in studio. He might want to take a little bit of Joe Biden live. I don't think Howie's going to mind his segment being taken over by Joe, but we will find out. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I started off the show today expressing my frustration, disgust with the state of journalism. And I actually was talking to my boss, some of you might know him, Howie Carr, about it, because I said, you know, I know Peter Ducey's doing his best and I get it, but the questions these people ask, there's no pushback. There's no shock when Jen Psaki lies to their face. And I just listened to a reporter ask Joe Biden, and I don't want to mischaracterize this, Jared. What was the question like?
The question was, Mr. Biden, Mr. President, what do you think about the Republicans trying to oust Liz Cheney from the party because she told the truth about the election?
They have no shame, Howie. They have zero shame, and they're just awful.
How about Nancy Pelosi today saying that she hopes that Lynn Cheney can survive.
Lynn Cheney, she's a patriot. She's a classy lady, that Lynn.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, Grace, you can't be a nasty person every day, unless it's Donald J. Trump. You know, that's the thing. I told you one of my proudest moments in journalism when Kevin White quit being mayor. They said, what's the best thing about being mayor? He said, I don't have to worry about Howie Carr chasing me around the city anymore. But I didn't do that every day. You know, some days you just have to sit there and, you know, tell him roll and chew gum and take notes and just let the reprobate say what he wants to say, or
yeah,
she.
But every day, are you supposed to go?
No.
We love your dogs.
No. Did you hear about was he asked yet about the name of the new White House cat? Did you hear about that?
What's the name?
Sherman Meow.
Oh.
That's from the Babylon Bee, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Howie, I wanted to ask you what you think about Dr. Fauci telling us that we are in the bottom of the sixth when it comes to this baseball game of COVID.
Well, it's been said many times on Twitter, but I agree with it totally. If this is the bottom of the sixth, you know, if I'm the manager, I'm raising my hand and calling in the relief pitcher.
I totally agree. I just can't. I can't take it anymore with Dr. Fauci. I have a cut sheet here, and I have Fauci with Savannah Guthrie. He calls her Savannah Guthrie. And then Fauci with Wolf Blitzer. This guy does more media hits than Joe Biden.
Like an insect to the Kleeglites, as Billy Bulger used to say of Ray Flynn.
Exactly. Howie, also, I just wanted to ask you, what do you have planned for the show today? I know you're really getting some fresh content with Joe right now because he's going off the cuff.
Yes. We also got to talk about some, we're going to need some fact checkers in aisle three for some other stuff that you didn't even mention today about the Sturgis super spreader. And we're going to have Niall Ferguson, who had a great piece in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend. 57-58 Asian flu compared to today. We're going to have Bill O'Reilly about his new book with the mob. We got a lot of stuff planned.
All right, guys, don't miss it. Howie Carr's got a jam-packed show coming up. I'll be back tomorrow. This is the Grace Curley Show.